Today's Bible reading comes from Luke chapter 10. So if people want to join with their various devices or old school paper, Luke chapter 10, starting at verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he had said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her."
All right, let's pray, shall we, as we open God's word. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you for your word. I do want to thank you. It's amazing. This one's not real easy for me, Father, so I'm really going to need your help. I'm going to pray that your Holy Spirit would work in and through me and in and through to us, and that we would be open and responsive to what you would have to say to us. Open our hearts right now, Father. Give us a teachable spirit and let us take on board the things that are really needed to take on board. And we pray this in your name. And everyone said? Amen. Okay, who said amen? Scary amen, because you don't know what's coming. I know what's coming. It's a tough one. This is one of the toughest sermons I've had to put together. I think it's going to be tough for me to share, but it's important. Today's sermon is entitled, "The Time Barrier." So far, so good? Okay. Anyone busy? Dan, you're busy? A little bit? Awesome. Dad's just scoffed, but anyway. Dads do that, Dan. All right. If we're busy, how do we deal with life and how do we do things? Well, I need to stop right there and say, look, this sermon is not just about busyness, because busyness is actually the wrong way to look at things. Busyness is something that we can all be, can't we? We can all fill our lives full of stuff. We have priorities, but we can fill the priorities with other stuff that distracts from the priorities. And I want us to concentrate on the priorities. For many, many years, I drove an E.H. Holden. My dad bought the E.H. Holden when I was born, and when he passed away 22 years ago, I inherited it. And so I got to drive the E.H. Holden. Now, let me tell you a few amazing mod cons that were in the E.H. Holden. The E.H. Holden had no radio, no cassette, no CD player, no MP3 player, no music at all. And it had no seatbelts. Correct. No what? No problems either, yes. No air conditioning. No air conditioning. The air conditioning was 4WD-90. In other words, it's four windows down at 90 kilometres an hour. Okay? That's how you got a nice breeze. It did have the quarter glasses, which were great when you were moving in a forward direction. No good going backwards and no good stopped at red lights. So if you wonder why I go on about red lights, it was 16 years of driving an E.H. Holden. Drove me nuts sitting in the car just sweating and sweating. The mod cons. You know that thing you push in your car and it just goes at that same speed all the time? Cruise control. Very good. Cruise control in the EH was one of three different bricks. So you put a light brick on if you wanted to drive around town. You put a heavier brick on if you wanted to go on the open road at 80 kilometres an hour. And a really heavy brick if you want to do 100 miles an hour. So that was the mod cons in the EH. And yes, no seat belts. Just do a little talk at the beginning of it. Introduce everybody to Jesus, just in case. Because there was the ads that came out. Remember the ads? No seat belts and you die. That was always encouraging when my kids were growing up and saw, "Hey, Dad, no seat belts and we die. Are we going in the EH to school?" "Yes, we are." All right, so modern technology. These days, I have a Suzuki. It has modern technology. It is amazing. I can do phone calls without doing anything. I just go, "Hey, Google, ring Cynthia." And it comes back, "Ringing Cynthia Hart." Hey, isn't that nice? And it does it, and it goes away. And it goes, I can go, "Hey, Google, send Paul Gear a text. What would you like to send?" And I'll say it, and it comes back with the wrong message. Would you like to send? No. Then you re-say the message. Would you like to send? Yeah, you got it close enough. Off you go. And it's amazing, though. It's like, Google, I'm lost. Can you get me to the Kiwanis Life Church, please? And it comes up and it tells you where to go. Turn left here. I can't turn left here. Anyone argument with some Googles on that? Yeah, okay. So modern technology, you would think with all that ability that you didn't have to stop and make phone calls. You didn't have to stop and look at a Refidex. You didn't have to do all that. You'd have more time. You'd think. But we don't, do we? Somehow with all the technology, we lose time. We don't gain time. I remember in telecom protesting for a 40-hour week. We wanted a 40-hour week. We got a 38-hour week. 9-day fortnight. How good was that? But then we wanted overtime. Go figure. My oikos is not about a program. We don't want to give you a program to load your life up with busyness. Okay? My oikos is not about a program. In fact, it's about going back to the basics. It's about us being who we're called to be. We are Christians. We are followers of Jesus. And if we grab hold of the oikos plan, then that is living our lives out as followers of Jesus. Yesterday, I got to be on the beach as a lifesaver. And my job as a lifesaver is to sit up in a beautiful, nice tower that gets a nice little breeze, comes in, and I'm up in the tower. So I'm watching and surveying the whole beach. All the lifesavers, all the guys that are trained professionals, that are bronzies, that know how to do defib and all that sort of stuff, they sit between the flags. Their job is to watch everyone swimming between the flags. And if they get in trouble, they go and rescue them. My job is to watch everything. Just as well, I'm a control freak, huh? Watching, 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 being aware. We had a group, 4, mum, dad, 2 kids. 3 o'clock, they came down the beach. They stood at the beach. To the right are the flags. To the left, a rip. Right, flags. Left, rip. Let's go to the rip. It looks good. So they come over to the rip. They put their towels right in front of the rip. I'm watching them. I'm watching. I'm watching. They can't escape me. I'm watching them. And they go for a swim. Not down between the flags. 150 metres. And they walked away for the flag. Did I mention that? They could have. No, they turned left. They're there. There's the rip. They go. They stand. They're up to their knees. I'm watching them. They're at their knees. Don't you go any further. They go up to their waist. They're getting knocked over. The mum's squealing like a little girl as the wave pummels up. So I walk down to the patrol beach because I know all the guys down, the lifesavers, they're lifesavers. They've got their jobs on. They're watching in between the flags. They're making sure that no one's in trouble. But guess what? They're naughty. They've been watching this family as well. They've been doing above and beyond their job because they're taking the work lifesaver seriously. They're not just taking the work of in between the flags. They're saying everywhere on the beach they want to look after. So I get down there and say, hey guys, are you aware? Yes, we're aware, Donnie. We've got it. And as soon as they go past their hips, we're going up. And I said, well, I'm already going up. I'm going to have a talk to them. I'm going to rouse on them. I'm going to tell them where the flags are. And so I'm heading up there. Ready to tell them where the flags are. Meanwhile, Dad decides, why not? Let's dive into the rip. So he dives in and he comes up and he must see a sign, New Zealand, this way. And he starts going out really quickly. I'm going, he's in trouble. And straight away, one of the guys on my patrol, Adam, flashes past me. He's got his rescue tube on and 2 great big... It's like out of that Baywatch. And he dives into the water and he swims and he gets this guy. So I'm up with the family now. It's okay. He's one of our best lifesavers. He's going to rescue your dad. Your dad's swimming in a rip. Can't you see the rip? And they're going, no, we're from Gladstone. We're not used to beaches with waves. No, they're not from Gladstone. Sorry. My daughter and her fiancé are here. They're from Gladstone, so I'm just... it's a little in-joke. For those that don't get it, I apologise. It's not... Anyway, so they say, oh, no, we're on holidays. We're not used to coming to the beach. And I said, well, see the things down there? That's red and yellow flags. You go down, you swim down there, they'll save you all the time. Adam does a great job. But he grabs the dad and he starts swimming parallel to the beach. Because when you're stuck in a rip, You don't swim straight in, do you? You swim parallel with the beach. So he starts swimming parallel to the beach, and the kids go, oh, how come he's doing that? How come he's not bringing Dad in? And I said, because he's stuck in a rip. If you swim into the rip that way, you'll get tired. Oh, that's what Dad was doing. That's why he's tired. That's why he's now being rescued. So they swam parallel to the rip, and they got him in, and I went into the water up to my knees and was able to help Adam bring the guy out of the water. So there we go. We saved a life, and guess who had to do the paperwork? Me. Love paperwork. But you know what? They were lifesavers. They were doing what they were called to do. Guess what? You are Christians. You are called to do what you're meant to do. And there's no good sitting there going, well, I've got a pastoral gift. No, I've got a servant gift. No, I've got an apostolic gift. If someone is drowning, you rescue them. If someone is lost, you help them be found. If someone needs prayer, you pray for them. If someone needs to be loved, it's your job, not my job. I'm actually supposed to empower the saints to do the work of God. I'm not meant to be doing all the pastoral care. That's all of our job. We're all meant to be working together. Did I tell you it was a nasty one? Yes, it is. We all are meant to love one another. It's our job, all of us. We're lifesavers. We're Christians. We're followers of Jesus. The oikos, my oikos, is for you and for me. I came across a book this week. In the last 2 weeks in preparing for this sermon, God just seems to be bringing incident after incident after incident after incident. This one came across my desk, and it's I'm going to say this guy's name wrong. If you know his correct name and pronunciation, please let me know later. His name is Atul, A-T-U-L, Gawande, G-A-W-A-N-D-E. No recognition? Cool. That's how we say his name. He wrote a book called The Checklist Manifesto. Anyone read this book? The Checklist Manifesto. All right? He wrote this book in it, and he talked about pause points. He says that every person should have 3 pause points in their day. Every person, 3 pause points in their day. To stop. The Bible would say to stop and be still and know I am God. How do you think your life would go if you did that 3 times a day? Every day. If you just stopped and be still for 10 or 15 minutes. And let God minister to you wherever you are. Even if you stopped and went for a walk and just concentrated on God, be still and know that I am God. This guy says 3 times a day to stop and to pause, pause points. In 2008, 8 hospitals read this book and they started an experiment. In the experiment, they decided to do 3 things in every operation. Firstly, they would stop and check before the anaesthetist did his job. They would stop and check to make sure they were doing the right thing. And then the anaesthetist would put you out. Then they would stop and check. Guess what the next one is? Before the incision. Exactly. Before they cut off the left leg, when it was supposed to be the right leg, they stopped and checked. All right. Before the first incision, they stopped and they checked. It took 30 seconds to a minute, and everyone at the table was checking it. And then the third pause point was when? Before closing up. Very good. This is not brain surgery, is it? But it's natural. And so they stopped at that point and they said, okay, let's double check. We've got everything out. How many gauze? How many this? How many that? All right, we've got it all. My stethoscope. Anyone see my stethoscope? Oh, there it is, underneath the lung. Good, we got it. You know. So they stopped and they looked and they did it all. And then they closed. You want to see hear some scary results? Over the next year or so, as they did the 3 pause points, major concerns or major damage was major incidents went down 35% in surgeries. 35%. Here's the kicker for you if you don't think that one's any good. Deaths in surgery went down 47% by pause points in hospitals. I want to tell you that if you stop and pause 3 times a day, be still and know that I am God. God is God, not me. God, I reckon your life will change. I reckon there'll be something sweet in that. Pause points, challenge. Take it up if you'd like to. The Bible reading today, Luke chapter 10, 38 to 42. Do we agree that this comes from God's word? Do we think God's word is put together specifically? Yes, it is. It is. If you delve into this story, Mary and Martha, you know, if you've heard of Mary and Martha, they've got a brother called Lazarus. Very good. You guys know your stuff. Excellent. So this story, a lot of commentary writers say, this story shouldn't fit here. It's in the wrong place. It's in the wrong place. It should go somewhere else. It fits time-wise over here. But for whatever reason, Luke has put it right here. I think it's amazing that Luke has put this story right where it is. Because who can tell me the story before, without looking in your Bibles or your contraptions, what is the story before Mary and Martha? The Good Samaritan. Yeah, well done, Arthur. So last week, Brendan preaches on the Good Samaritan about us loving our neighbour, which is important when we're talking about love God first and then love your neighbour. Here's the Good Samaritan, and straight after the Good Samaritan is Mary and Martha. Isn't that amazing? You don't even have to look anywhere in the whole Bible to find out that there's another story that brings home the point, very importantly, that the main thing is the main thing. Yes, we're meant to look after our Good Samaritan, be the Good Samaritan, to look after our neighbour. But the main thing, the priority, has to be the priority. Mary and Martha. We can go into a great story about Mary and Martha. But can I tell you that Jesus didn't just preach amazing things, he lived amazing things. In a time and a place and an era when women were not raised up, Jesus raised women up. Where a widow who'd lost her last son was in the funeral group going past, Jesus' heart was broken and he went and he touched the dead boy and raised him to life so that widow could have her son back. Jesus, hanging on the cross in pain and agony, cares for another widow. Just happens to be his mum. But he makes sure that she's going to be okay while he's on the cross. Jesus had a ministry and exposed women to greater levels of understanding in a culture where women were not at that point. Do you hear me? And so here we have a scenario where Jesus is teaching and they're sitting at his feet. Now, we at the leadership meeting have been talking about how do we deal with, numbers growing and growing every week for us as a church. And apart from the front row, every area seems to be filled. So maybe what I'm saying is maybe we just get rid of the chairs. And you can all sit at my feet. You don't like that idea? Sorry?
Are you going to watch the ugliness as we roll over to get up?
So the sitting at my feet thing's not working? Ah. In Malawi, the women, when they received their awards, stopped 10 feet away from the men and crawled on their knees and stood on their knees and put their hand up to receive their awards from the men. They did the same to me. My heart was going, oh, this is not my culture. I explained it to Cynthia and she very gracefully told me that was never going to happen once I got back to Australia. And I'm telling you, it hasn't. But in this culture, in this scenario, they're all sitting at Jesus' feet, the men and the women. And the scenario goes on that Martha is outside getting everything ready. Martha had a serving gift. She's working hard to make it all happen, so she's doing it. Mary had a sitting at Jesus' feet gift. And Martha, being the older sister, so whether this is an older sister, younger sister thing, she gets a bit cranky. And she has a bit of a whinge to the Lord about it. And Jesus says, now, Avril read that beautifully, didn't she? She went, Martha, Martha. I reckon it's Martha, Martha. Yeah, Martha, Martha. It's like out of the Brady Bunch. Marsha, Marsha. You know, that sort of tone and voice, that sort of way of going. Martha, Martha. Really? Are you going to whinge and complain about this? Is this what is important to you? This is a priority? Mary has chosen not to be distracted like you are. Yes, when Martha was distracted, correct. Thanks, Arthur.
Arthur.
In the NLT, it says this, but the Lord said to her, "My dear Martha," which is nice, "you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about, and Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken from her." How cool is that? Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken from her. Have you discovered the main thing? And if you have, then Jesus will not take it from you. Isn't that cool? If you have discovered that it's important to sit at the feet of the Master, that's important. Now, in the busyness of this world, I want to hit some myths. Here's myth number one. You ready? One day it'll all settle down. That's wrong. Amen. Yeah. No. One day it won't settle down. Unless you take it by the neck and you relaunch your priorities, it won't settle down. Busyness will stay busy. That will never get any better by shoving stuff into it. And trying to take stuff out of that is messy. Very messy. But to get back to the priorities, you need to go through that messy to get that other stuff out of there. Tough decisions need to get made. Big decisions need to get made. Number two, if only I had more, you know, if only I had more technology, if only I had 4 mobile phones and 3 tablets and a laptop, maybe work would be less work. Really? No. No. In fact, there's a beautiful Bible reading that I just want to share with you. And it's just a couple of pages over in Luke chapter 12. And then someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." And Jesus replied, "Man, who made me judge before you? Watch out before you guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." And then he went on to tell this story. "The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, 'What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops.' Then he said, 'This is what I'll do. I will tear down my old barns and build bigger barns, and there I will store my surplus grain.' And he said to himself, 'I will have plenty of grain laid up for many years, and then I will take it easy. I will eat, drink, and be merry.' And God said to him, 'You fool, for this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then you will not get what you have thought to prepare for yourself.'" Who will not get? The challenge is, if we think we'll prepare, if we think if it's, I can just get more, then that'll help my busyness, or that'll keep me happy, or that'll satisfy my soul, we're dreaming. Number three myth, everybody lives like this. No, not everybody does live like this. Some people have grabbed hold of the priorities and have put them in place and are able to live day by day following Jesus. Myokos. We've talked about 2 great commandments. Oswald Saunders. Anyone read Oswald Saunders? A couple of people. Anyone thinking of reading Oswald Saunders this year? Good. He's tough. Don't read his stuff. It is really hard yards. If you want to be challenged, then pick up Oswald Saunders, My Utmost for His Highest. Challenging book. I'm reading through that devotional at the moment, along with a couple other ones. But boy, oh boy, does he hit between the eyes all the time. In Oswald Saunders, he says, the 2 great commandments are actually calls on our life. Calls on our life. Anyone called? Anyone called here by God? Guess what? You all are called by God. All of us, each and every one of us are called by God. Oswald Saunders says 2 great calls. Firstly, you're called to love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. Now, how you do that is up to you, because we're all different. We're all different. Some of you love to worship and you really get into that worship zone and it goes off and you're just in la-la land. Worship is really important. Some of you reading God's word is that really connection. Some of you praying and not just praying but stomping and praying and praying and getting into that zone and praying through it. Other of you are different ways that you love God. Love God. Remember years ago we talked about our heart songs? Well, one of my heart songs is Jesus! Lover of my soul, Jesus, I will never let you go. That's one of my heart songs. Now, I won't sing the rest of it, but it resonates big time. And it helps me to love the Lord your God. Because it goes on, it says, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I love you. Helps me to follow through on that call, to spend time with God, to spend time alone with God, to be still and to know. And he says the second one is like it, to love one another, to love your neighbour. It's important. If you don't think it's important, grab any chapter in the New Testament. I'm reading through a devotional with a couple of people, and one of it was Ephesians chapter 4. And so I'm thinking sermon, and I read Ephesians chapter 4, and four places in Ephesians chapter 4, there is the challenge to love one another. There is a challenge to follow my command, love one another. It's an amazing chapter, Ephesians chapter 4, and that's just one chapter to love one another. God says it's serious. It's serious. Time barriers is actually false. We have no time barriers. It's priority barriers that we have. Can I give you an example? Just pretend it's state of origin season. I'm busy. We're busy. Things are happening. I'm planning the state of origin, watching it on the big screen here. Mark rings me up Wednesday afternoon. He says, Donnie, someone's pulled out. I've got a spare ticket to the origin game down at Lang Park. Can you come? Guess what my answer is? Yes. Who said no? We're having a time of repentance later, Bruce. That's one thing. So Mark gives me the opportunity. All of a sudden, busyness flies out the door because my priority changes. I have the opportunity to go down to state of origin. You understand? Our priorities change when something comes up that we see as more important than the busyness in our world. I want you to stop and have a look at the busyness in your life and have a look at what is priorities in your life. The main thing is number one, to love God. The second one is number two, to love one another. Satan has a plan. His plan is to lead us into sin. Why does he lead us into sin? He leads us into sin so our relationship can be broken with God. And when our relationship is broken with God, then we can't fulfill our call of number one. We have to work through repentance. We have to work through stuff to make sure that our open plan with number one is happening. When sin gets in the road, it breaks down our relationship with God. They say his second strategy is to get us busy. They even gave it an acronym, I think that's the right wording. Being under Satan's yoke, busy. Being under Satan's yoke, busy. Being busy. Oswald Chambers goes even further and says, if number two, in other words, to love one another, to do ministry, becomes number one, then you're in sin. Because you can't do number two without doing number one first. How's that for a challenge? How many people have you seen who are so busy in ministry but have no relationship with God? It's a challenge. If you don't think it's a challenge, let me read to you from Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23. Matthew chapter 7, 21 to 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in the name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away with you. You want me to read the next line? Away with you, you evildoers. Now, everyone who's prophesying, everyone who's performing miracles, everyone who wants to drive out demons will be wanting to do it out of that heart for God. But if they're not doing it out of a heart for God, doing it out of the will of God in their lives, it becomes evil. That's a hard word. So our priorities have to flow through. Why did I say this was tough for me? Well, I'm very easy at doing ministry. I love to do ministry. I love to talk to people at the surf club. I went down to a funeral in Brisbane on Thursday. And before we went to the funeral, I got to go and spend half an hour with a dying man. He's dying of cancer and he stopped treatment this week. But that half hour with him was just amazing. He's an ex-trucker. Back in the day at Mansfield, I was a chaplain and football team and blah, blah, blah. he was one of the dads that used to come and walk up and down the aisle on the football field and yell at the coaches and the refs and all that sort of stuff. Big man, massive man. He's only half the size now, but he wanted to talk to me about God stuff. That was just amazing. But if I was just giving him stuff out of what I know and understand, what am I giving him? Filthy rags. That's not good. But if I'm giving him stuff out of what God's got, then I'm giving him precious gems. At the end of it, I said, mate, do you mind if I pray with you? And he said, well, that's why I thought you were here. Good to know. So we prayed. We held hands, his big son, his wife, and he and I, and we prayed. And I prayed for healing because I'm actually praying for a miracle in his life. The doctors have given up hope. He's given up hope. The family's looking at palliative care. But I'm praying for a miracle because the glory of God would just blow like anything in that family if he got healed. He's already on the road to being saved. He is just so open. And we prayed. And many of you have had me pray for you. And it must have been one of those really bad prayers again. Because at the end of it, I look up and he is just bawling his eyes. And I went up, his wife gave him a big hug, and I gave him a big hug. And he looks at me and goes, pardon the language, I'm just quoting, I'm going bloody soft. I said, no, you're not, mate. God's at work in your life. And he said, yeah, I know. Holy ground. But if I'm giving out of just me, it's nothing. It has to be out of what God's doing. And that's why that passage says, in accordance to God's will. And that's why when we talk about oikos, my oikos, it's the first one first. Love God and let him work in and through your life. And then you can go and you've got something to give. And it's amazing. It truly is amazing. I'm going to lead us in a time of repentance right now. And if you would like to come down as the band comes back and leads us in a time in our last song, I would love you to come and pray. Because unlike you, I need to repent of my busyness, because when I grab this is my life. The priorities get clouded all the time. I'm thankful I've got a leadership team that point out some of my priorities, and I've got a wife that does the same. But behind their backs, I fill it up with other stuff. And I just keep looking for stuff to do instead of stopping. Even some of my prayer times are work prayer times. God doesn't get a word in. Anyone have prayer times like that? You go into your prayer time and it's, Lord, I'm praying for this, this, this. I'm going to do this and I'm going to bind that and do this. And we'll pray for that revival and we'll do this. And God's going, can I say something? I need to repent of that. I need to go into my prayer times first and say, Lord, what would you like to do with me today? Before I get all beat up on what I want to do. What is your will for my life today? Where do you want to take me? If you need to repent of some stuff, if your life is looking like that, like mine, let's repent. Grab hold of the priorities, the important things. And you will know the important things that are in your life. Some of them may be a bit dusty because they've been lying around and not touched. Other things have come in. Martha got rebuked by Jesus, didn't she? Because she was distracted. We don't need to be distracted. Our priorities on God. Number one, to love him and to love our neighbours. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you for your word. It's a tough, and there's parts of it I don't like, and I need to pray through more. But Father, in my life, there is busyness. There is a lack of priorities in certain areas. And some areas, Lord, you're correcting, and you've brought people beside me to help me correct those areas. And I pray, Lord God, as a group of people, you would help us to correct those areas. You would help us to get the main thing, the important thing, the important thing. That we will break through in the area of loving you. And you will just fill us with your love. And we will know who we are, walking in your strength and power and anointing. And we will go and we'll share your good news. And we will love as you have loved us. Oh, Father God, I know you're a gentleman, Holy Spirit. And so, gentlemen, Holy Spirit, we welcome you here today to minister into our lives, to just touch a few of these distracted things that we've got in our lives. And each of us know them. We They don't hide very well. All mine are in plain sight. So, Father, just pray that you would touch them in our lives. And then we might repent of them and grab them and push them out of our lives and let the priority, the things that mean something, be back in the right order. Would you do that in our lives today, Father? In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Errol. Thank you, team.